Today we hang out with two of my friends, Emily Patterson and Amy Maloney. Amy featured on episode 39 of this podcast, so be sure to flick back to that episode. And Emily you can find on Instagram at the handle Conscious Mothers Group and the website wearenaturenetwork.com, where you can also find her Conscious Parenting course. And she's also the host of the Hey Mama podcast, which I have also been a guest on. So I asked these two beautiful ladies to come on today because they always have such amazing wisdom when it comes to parenting. And I personally learn a lot from both of them in my own parenting journey. Even though their children are younger than mine, they always seem to be such an endless source of wise wisdom on how I can be a better parent myself. So one of the things I see in the clinic very often are parents bringing their children in for me to give them a homeopathic remedy to fix their behavior. Now, often there are lots of remedies that we can do to help, but most commonly, there are factors within the home life which is a major contributor to the reason for the child's behavior. So I asked these two ladies to come in today so we can have an open, non-judgmental conversation just about what are some ways that we can use in our parenting, what are some tools, what are some reframes that we can do in our parenting journey to help our children with their behavior and also for us to grow as human beings in the process. So I really hope you enjoy this conversation and let me know what you think by visiting my Facebook group, Homeopathy Hangout Podcast on Facebook. Thanks so much for listening.
Welcome to the Homeopathy Hangout, where we discuss all things homeopathy from around the world. And now my mum and your host, Eugenie Kruger.
Hello, homies, and a very warm welcome to Homeopathy Hangout. Today, I have two super special ladies here who have meant so much to me in my life and my time here in Perth and my parenting journey. It is the lovely return guest, Amy Maloney. Hello, Amy.
Hi, Eugenie.
And the lovely Emily Patterson. Hi, Emily.
Hi.
Now, I've also been on Emily's podcast, the Hey Mama podcast. And these two ladies, I have a huge place in my heart for the two of you, because when I first came to Perth and I found the Conscious Mothers Facebook group, which the two of you started along with Ashley, it was a real revelation to me. It's like a paradigm shift in how to communicate with fellow mothers. I think when I arrived in Perth, I was quite abrupt in the way that I did things. So maybe it's my South African upbringing, or I don't know what it was, but the two of you have very gently helped me to find kinder ways to express myself. So I have said this to Amy plenty of times, because we've had a bit more conversations, me and Amy, than I have with you, Emily, but you ladies don't even realize how much you have influenced the way in which I practice, the way in which I talk with my children, with my clients, with everybody around me, and certainly how I express myself online. So thank you.
I think that's for all of us, right? Because until I started going down that path of, there's so many terms for it, conscious parenting, respectful parenting, gentle parenting. Until I actually went down that path, I probably wasn't treating just other human beings in general as well as I did once I learned the tools from parenting. And actually, I became a way better wife in the way I spoke to my husband once that paradigm shift happened to me. So yeah, I think sometimes we can learn things when we start delving into the parenting side of thing, but it actually ends up applying to everyone in our life.
Absolutely. And Emily, I mean, you've got a master's in special education as well. So you've got that kind of background too, and you work in early childhood care, and you have got that kind of background of parenting as well. Today is all about three mums hanging out and chatting about parenting, more so, like you said, conscious parenting. There's different ways that we can term this. Emily, what would you define conscious parenting as?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think for me, conscious parenting is really just about having awareness and reflection and just constantly asking why, like, why am I doing this? Why am I doing it this way? Is it because it's how I was parented? Is it because it's what society is telling me to do? And then does it feel right? And is it actually then in alignment with my values? And constantly coming back to that why. And I think for me, it's ever changing and ever growing. I mean, obviously because our children are always getting older, but also because, like, I know that for me, and I think the same with you two, we're always growing ourselves and finding out more things about ourselves. And that is it. Like, the parent, conscious parenting is kind of less about the kids for me and more about myself and my own growth. And with that, the way that I then speak to my children, the way that I treat them, just then comes naturally.
Amazing. And for you, Amy?
Yeah. And I think that's so well said. And I think what I'll just add to that would just be that I did the research into this before having children. And so that was like a very different way of, like, where I guess that was the theory side of things, where I just really resonated with how to raise kids this way. But the actual, like, being in it, it doesn't look the same. It's messy and it's, oh, and it's forever changing the way you see yourself and the way you see your kids and the way you respond and the way you look to why you do the things that you do. And I feel like I really changed from this wanting to be so perfect at parenting this specific way, and over the years it just changed to this real authentic persistence. I just have a goal to keep being a better person and keep being a better wife and keep being a better parent, not to be perfect, but just because it just feels like that's what life's all about. And, like, doing it with the lightheartedness and sense of humor that allows joy, and for it not to be taken over by a set of things that need to be done to be a respectful parent. And yeah, as Emily said, each age and stage is just changing and flipping things on its head. And I now have a 6-year-old daughter and bringing up all this new stuff. And it's such a huge opportunity to grow. I never get to the end of the day and not reflect on how I could do things differently tomorrow. I really don't even think anymore about anything being about my kids. It's always about me.
We're literally reparenting ourselves. Like, a lot of us, we didn't have this shown to us. Like, it's not what we are used to. It's not how we grew up. And mostly because, not because anybody did anything wrong, but just because we didn't have access to all the information that we have access to. And we didn't have this knowledge and this knowing and this self-awareness, really, of the generation before us didn't have as much as we do now. So I think exactly what you said, Amy, like, reflecting at the end of the day and then realizing that we're not perfect, and conscious parenting doesn't mean perfect parenting. It doesn't mean that we are this kind, gentle, loving, beautiful mother all day, every day, because
wearing
that is not reality.
Floral skirts are floating around handing our children
handmade
organic snacks all day.
Totally. And, like, I'm going to, like, preface this entire conversation by saying that I sometimes yell as a parent. Like, you know, I yell, I say things that I don't want to say. Like, I screw up all the time. But as much as I say I screw up, I kind of don't see it as much as a screw up anymore. I see it as showing my kids that I'm a human being and I have emotions just like them. And what do I do when I have those emotions and I don't express them in what would be considered a healthy way? Well, I repair that and I let them know, hey, like, I just really took my own crap out on you. That's not okay. It wasn't your responsibility. That's mine. I'm going to own it. And all of that, like, all of that is conscious parenting. That is it.
Totally. And the more you do it, the more your kids will tell you as soon as you're screwing up.
That is so true. I've now, with an 11 and 8-year-old, they call me on it. You know,
I'm there, like, getting frustrated because I'm like, I want to have an adult tantrum right now, but I've got this 6-year-old calling me out on it. And I'm like, damn it. Like, someone's pulled me out of my, like, I'm no longer in the front seat in my brain. I've gone to the back seat. I'm having a rant. And then I just see the look on my 6-year-old's face and she's like, tells me everything I need to know. And I just, in that moment, then I have to make this choice. Do I like stop in my tracks and do the right thing? Or do I just keep on going on my rant? And God, sometimes it's so hard.
It's so hard. Like now with my 11-year-old son who has got, like I said today on a podcast, I feel really cheated because I honestly thought I had until about 12 or 13 to have to deal with teenage hormones, but he's 11 and full on in the throes of back chatting me, and it's bringing up all my childhood issues. And we used to get, we would get slaps right through the face for things like that. So it's bringing up a lot of that trauma for me when he talks to me that way. But I just realized, you know, this is the thing when you hang out with friends and you just happen to be recording for the whole world to listen, is that I didn't preface all of this quite enough. That other reason why I brought you on is that one of the things I see in the clinic over and over and over, and we said this quickly before we press the record button, I just over and over see mums bringing their kids into me for a remedy to fix their child's tantrums, to fix their child's this and that and the next thing. But when you know with all of your being, it's the way that this child is being parented that is what we call in homeopathy a maintaining cause. So if you are a smoker and you've got emphysema, the maintaining cause is smoking. The emphysema is not going to improve, or your lungs, maybe emphysema is a little bit too far down the track, but your lungs are not going to improve until you stop smoking. So that's often the parenting is a maintaining cause in a child's homeopathic treatment. Because if you are shouting all day, shouting at your kids, and you and your husband have got a terrible relationship and you are not spending that quality time with your child, of course they're going to be biting their nails. Of course they're going to be back chatting you. Of course they're going to be throwing their bags or be in a miserable mood all day, because that is the environment that they're in. So I wanted us to have this conversation, see what sort of tools can we give our listeners that if you are stuck in that rut, and I have been there where I have been a shouty mom, I haven't been in the best place, I take it out on my kids, and then they act up and they play out. And I've seen that just this past week where I've discovered why I am so reactive to my son's back chatting. And it's because it's all my childhood traumas and things when I was going through my teenage years and not being listened to properly and acknowledged and not feeling that somebody's there for me unconditionally, despite the fact that I was being a little B-I-T-C-H. I understand why my mom did what she did. I was a horrible teenager, but not have had an adult there to sit with me and know that even though I'm like this, I am okay and I'm loved. And now my son is doing, now my son is bringing that old childhood traumas up for me. And now that I've identified why I'm reacting the way I am, and I'm consciously changing that, and consciously every night for the last week going and lying with him in bed, and we're reading together each our own book, but lying next to each other with our heads together, like consciously spending that time with him, his behavior has changed so much. And I don't know if a homeopathic, like a homeopathic remedy wasn't needed for me to recognize what was wrong and to remedy that with time and with consciousness, being conscious of what's happening. That was the remedy that was needed. Talk to me about this, ladies.
100%. So I think the first thing is just that awareness. And I guess that's where all these pillars in conscious parenting comes in, because like you might find that a lot of conscious parents are really aware of screen time and the effects it has on kids, right? And then that's like one pillar, or food and the effects that sugar, all the toxins in food, or then it's maybe all the household products, what's going on our skin, what's going in the air of our home. There's just so many pillars, and they all have a cause and effect. And there's just so many these days. So like when I hear Emily talk about, oh, you know, our parents back then, they didn't know any better. And sometimes I actually wish that we could almost be back in those times, just from the way of like where the world is right now, and like to not have cell phones or to not have all this technology and to not have all the chemicals in our food and to not have all these products full of carcinogenic. It just, sometimes I do just wish that we didn't have to work so hard, because those are all the, in my opinion, they are all those maintaining causes that are at the root of a lot of the issues, and just being present, because we're being pulled in a million different directions and we can't just be mum anymore. Now we need to also have a career and also take on the mental load of what it is to be a mum in this current climate where everyone has overcommitted in their expenses and a husband is now away from the house X amount of hours a day and life is stressful. And it's like we've all created this for ourselves, but the ones that everyone's suffering, including our kids, I just feel like conscious parenting is just that awareness that there's all these things going on, and to try and remediate them, and to have the kids then will have like less stimulus to, you know, all the TV shows and the content and the social media, or less physical reactions to gluten or dairy or if sugar, whatever it is that might not be helping their nervous system. And then all the EMFs when they go to bed at night and they're not sleeping great or as deeply as they should be because of all these electronics and EMFs on at night. And so then they wake up, they're not well rested. Their system wasn't able to go into a rest and recovery overnight. And so now you see those behavioral issues. And you're right, you can give all the remedies and they can help. They can help obviously strengthen their vital force, but to actually work consciously and be aware of all these things and try to help them as much as possible, that's where I see the conscious parenting and the homeopathy overlapping. Like, we use homeopathy so much, but I do feel like if you just let your kid be on screen so much, and that's not a judgment because like I genuinely understand the struggle, but just to know that then there may be behavioral effects that homeopathy isn't going to help with, because they'll just go straight back on the screen. And we do have those studies now, we know better at what effect that has on kids.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I would love to like then almost put in my perspective, which is this, like, I agree with everything you're saying, but then I've got another little thing that I would add. And this is about like, again, going back to us as the parents. So yeah, there's all of those external things that can cause that. And then there's us, right? So if we're not parenting from this place of love and connection and respect, and they're not actually reflecting and recognizing the role that they're playing in that, because they're lacking this deep connection with their child. And when that connection is not there, the behavior is going to show up. Like, behavior is communication. Like, I think we all know that, like all of us who parent consciously, we know that the behavior comes up from a lack of unmet needs, right? So our needs are not met, we behave. So then how do we change that? We want to then meet that need of our child. But how can we meet the need of our children, whether that be the need for connection, be the need to be heard, be the need to be seen, be the need to be loved, when we haven't actually met it in ourselves because we didn't get it met as the child, right? So this is where our triggers are. And I'm sure like everyone's heard that word now. It's a bit of a buzzword. Like, you know, we get triggered by things. And the reason why we are triggered by all of that is exactly what I said. We didn't have those needs met in our childhood, but we're still then acting like we need to appease our caregiver. So we're walking around as adults with these triggers that are there because we're trying to please a caregiver that's no longer there. And I think when we realize that we're not actually babies anymore, like we're not a child who need to be looked after, we are able to survive on our own as adults. So because we don't need to appease them anymore, we can meet those needs ourselves. We don't need somebody else to meet them. So we can then meet those needs ourselves. Like, we don't need to have those needs met by a caregiver anymore because we're adults now. We're not babies. We don't need our caregiver in order to survive, right? So we can meet our physical needs, but we can also meet our emotional needs. So then going back to what you said, Eugenie, about like reflecting on the day and how you've been as a parent, like having that awareness, and exactly what you said too, Amy, is like the first step. So what I would suggest to anybody who's wanting to try and parent in a more conscious way and get this deeper connection with their child is by, okay, reflect at the end of the day. What did I not like that I did today? What was triggering me? Like, did it trigger me, like as an example, when my child was not listening to me? And that's a huge one, right? Like, I feel like everybody can relate to that. They weren't listening, so I shouted at them or I tried to punish them or whatever it might be. So you can sit there and reflect on that and be like, okay, well, I know that that's a trigger for me because I probably wasn't heard as a child. Like, my parents may not have had the space. They may not have known how to listen to me and hold space for all of that. So now that I'm an adult and I don't need a caregiver to meet those needs, I can do it for myself and literally sit there and feel what it is like to be heard and just sit in that feeling. And then the more you practice that in the evening, or when you're alone without children, the more you can do that in the moment when you're feeling those triggers too.
So in that example, I love everything you've just said, by the way. In that example, do you think journaling is a great way to feel heard. I'm just kind of, that just came to me out of nowhere. And I didn't think of that. I love journaling and I just get everything out and spew it all out on a page. I've never really thought if that's what actually, maybe that actually is what helps me feel heard.
Yeah, I reckon. And that's the thing, like we all have our own little things that can help. And I feel like journaling is amazing to do, like especially when you've got that time and space on your own. But I really just love practicing like giving that feeling to myself, because it is something that then I can replicate in the moment if I need it, rather than like going with that trigger and going with that. Because, you know, when we are triggered, we actually get a hit of dopamine if we go with that trigger. So our brain is telling us to. It feels safe for us to go with a trigger. It feels like, yeah, it feels good. Like we get a hit of dopamine. Like, yeah, of course we want to. But the way that we can also get that is by like giving that need to ourselves, meeting it within ourselves. So then we don't need to go with it as much. And yeah, so that's, I just like practicing that. So it's something I can do in the moment. But I also do really think journaling has a massive, massive role to play in this, and a great way to reflect and again, just figure out why you're doing it and what's going on.
Yeah, so what you were talking about would literally just be sitting there, taking some deep breaths, closing your eyes, and just imagining what it feels like to be heard.
Yeah,
exactly. Awesome. Yeah, I love that. It's something I haven't actually done. I definitely do have other tools, but I love that idea of just imagining what it would feel like for whatever the lack there is when you're reflecting on your parenting for the day. And you're going, say, for instance, with me, I really wish that I had just responded with more empathy in that particular situation. So then that night when I pinpoint that and I go, oh God, I really wish I'd been better at empathy in that moment. So then it's just sitting and closing my eyes and taking that deep breath and just imagining what it would like for someone to just be so empathetic towards me.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. And like our brain obviously can't like, it doesn't know whether it's happening in reality or happening in our mind, right? So we're kind of tricking ourselves into, like, we're rewiring our brain essentially into responding in a way that we would like, that we would prefer, because otherwise we're just going to continually go with those patterns that have been wired in those first, you know, 0 to 7 years. And the brain is like so good at rewiring if you know what to do.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that really does just tie in with everything that we all know about self-love, but do find it hard in this season of life to put into practice. I mean, I was just talking to some of the girls this morning and we were talking about our surf husbands. Really, it's so cut and dry for me. If my cup is full and I'm treating myself with love and I'm doing all the right things, I couldn't care less if my husband surfed every day. But as soon as I'm not, as soon as my cup is feeling empty and I'm not putting myself first, I'm not giving to myself, the resentment starts to build up when the surfing starts. And Emily, you've got a surfer husband, so I bet that that's something that you can just so relate to.
Oh, 100%.
I have a home husband. He's such a homebody. So sometimes I wish he would just go out and do other things so I can have a quiet house. But so I can't complain about that one. But how beautiful for them that they have something out in nature that they can go to fill their cups. I mean, that's really important. And something, I mean, this is kind of like another kettle of fish, but I was just, this is kind of more the home environment that's creating that maintaining cause. And I did a little post in Conscious Mums group the other day because I am just devastated by the daily several posts a day I'm seeing of families breaking up. And often the kiddies are so little. And sometimes I wish I could just say to the families, just hold on until your kids are a little bit older, because your children are a little bit older now. So I'll be interested to hear, because when I met you ladies, your kiddies were babies and your third one wasn't born yet. And now your kiddies are like getting to school age. And so how do you feel the way that you viewed parenting and your relationship has changed? Because you kind of started to get out of the thick of it all. Like I felt when my kids were just like little, he's like under five, I was just like right in the thick of it all. You don't have any time for your husband or for yourself or for anyone. And especially if they're not going to daycare or things like that, and you're with them all the time, it can be so intense.
Advice? For sure. Yeah. My advice would be quite similar to yours, as long as we're not talking about abuse. The hold on is pretty essential. I mean, the communication that me and my hubby have developed over the last few years has just been so open and honest and vulnerable and messy. But it really is where we can openly admit to each other that we may not be in a season of life where we can put in the effort to grow our relationship in a sustainable way. Sometimes we just go through seasons where we just need to maintain it. And as long as we feel like it's not at all going backwards, we're actually pretty stoked with ourselves. And, you know, the same with like sex and intimacy. We have so many conversations. It's like, I want to have sex with you. Like I want to feel like I want to have sex with you all the time. And it just that knowing that I want to, it's just not there right now, or I want to be intimate in these ways. And I feel like by the end of the day, I've just got nothing left to give. But just being so crystal clear in our communication and continue these conversations, because we keep coming back to the fact that we're in this really gnarly season of life where we don't even do a whole lot of family time right now. We're really kind of prioritizing the more tag team parenting so that we each can go off and meet our own needs and get our own time. And then we know that, for instance, for us, we're going to be taking 8 weeks up north to have a lot of family time during winter. And so just in this maintaining kind of period of life where we're like, we're okay that we don't get to put a lot of time into growing and thriving our relationship. We have such a good foundation. And as long as I think we keep those conversations going, like we've decided that that's what's working for us. That might not work for everyone, but like for us, we have decided that, yeah, we probably don't have the time to be going on courses and doing all these things that we hear about and we love the idea of. And then at the end of the day, we're just absolutely pooped and we don't follow through. We're like, it's almost like we're making false promises to ourselves. And, you know, then we talk about the fact that next year our youngest will be in kindy 3 days a week and we talk and get all excited about daytime sex or whatever it is.
I love your honesty so much. It's going to be so many mums resonating with us. But
I feel like we need a Facebook group that says, I want to have sex with my husband's help.
And literally through the bank. I mean, you know, I do 1,000 consults a year. And out of that, I will have one woman a year that will tell me she has a libido. So with young kids, it's like, that's the exception. Like one.
I'm still breastfeeding a 6 and a 3-year-old. Like I know that biologically this is all normal. And yeah, I wish it was different, but it's not, you know.
Having those conversations, I think that is, that's where it all starts. It's having those conversations.
Yeah, no one's left guessing. And I do have a really wonderfully respectful partner. I guess what we see a lot in the conscious mothers groups, the post is where, there is people whose boundaries are not being respected. And I can see both sides of it. That's the thing. I read these posts and I can put myself in the husband's shoes and I get it. And I can put myself in the wife's shoes and I get it. It's just hard and it's messy and it's a season. Yeah. So yeah, I'd love to hear how you're feeling on all that, Em.
Oh, well, the only thing that I was thinking while you guys were talking was that I feel like it's so easy for us to say this stuff about relationships because we do have husbands who have grown with us in a sense where say I've been like, we're having a home birth. Yeah, cool. We're going to be using homeopathy. Yeah, cool. We're going to be homeschooling. Yeah, cool. Oh, actually, now I'm going to free birth this child. You know, like he's always gotten on board with everything and just like there's been growth of us together. And same with the parenting, like we align with the parenting and that, which is amazing. Like we can then tell each other when we're in a bad mood and say, hey, let me take over for a minute because you're really struggling right now or whatever it might be. But I also get that there are some moms out there who don't have that luxury of having a partner who agrees with same with everything, you know, that their partners just agree with the things that they're doing. And I reckon that would probably cause quite a rift between two people if one is parenting one way and one is parenting another way. And how do you then find a middle ground, especially in parenting, like conscious parenting and mainstream parenting, totally different. There's kind of like, it's hard to find a middle ground, especially if there's two people that are passionate about different things.
Oh, yeah. And totally. You know, this is the stuff that the kids pick on. And this is the stuff that I see in clinic, like give my child a remedy to fix X, Y, Z when at home there's these completely conflicting things. And actually the remedy anacardium is one that we often use when the parenting styles are extremely different and the child feels like they have to split themselves in two to kind of appease both parents. So you can give some remedies to kind of help the child cope with that. But at the end of the day, the children feel all of this. Like, we are completely deluded if we think that our kids don't feel everything. And, you know, I have mums and they will come for consults and they'll say, oh, my husband and I are not talking, or we've got this or that. And, you know, luckily we hide it from the kids. And I'm like, yeah, you're not hiding anything. Your child is so much smarter. And if you're not going to heal this between the two of you, obviously don't say that, but our children feel everything. And we owe it to them and to ourselves to get their communication going, learning tools to. And I think, like you said about triggers, Emily, it does feel like it's the hot topic at the moment. But even triggers in our relationship, what is it about the way that our partner's dealing with us that's triggering us? And how can we heal that? Because everything around us is just mirrors. And so what are we seeing? What's being mirrored around us? And how can we heal that in ourselves and in turn gets healed around us to some extent? I do. Yeah. There's obviously exceptions if there's like real addiction or abuse or things like that going on that I don't feel qualified to be able to say anything on that, because I've never been in a position where I've had a partner that's, you know, been a drug user or things like that. So I can't say. I imagine it would be unbelievably hard, but any work that we do on ourselves and heal any of that in ourselves surely should have a flow-on effect in a relationship.
Yeah, and I feel like that comes back to like what Amy was saying at the beginning, is that it's not even just been about how she speaks to her children. It's like it just impacts all your relationships, because learning this stuff just kind of makes you a better human being, you know. And I have 100% found that mine and my husband's relationship has improved from this knowing and this understanding, like just be able to recognize his feelings. I feel like in previous relationships, like I would have had stories where it's like, you know, you can't be angry or you can't be sad, and I have to kind of fix that or something. But learning all of this stuff, it's like, yeah, it's just been pivotal in it to be able to hold space for each other. And yeah, just so much more. But it impacts every area of your life once you start learning this stuff, just for the better.
Yeah. And I think just continuing on from that, one of the sayings I learned over time was to say to my husband, when you do this, the story I tell myself is this. I think that's a Brené Brown, one of the tools that she uses to communicate. Basically, it's putting the ownership back on us, right? Like, we're not saying that they are saying or meaning or doing anything, but we're saying, when you do this, this is the story I tell myself. And I've actually started doing it recently with my 6-year-old daughter. So maybe just going back to that example of not listening. Hey, when I ask you 2 or 3 times to put your shoes on and you don't, the story I'm telling myself is that I'm not being respected, that my, you know, what I say doesn't matter, that it's okay to ignore me. And gosh, the innocence when then a 6-year-old turns around and goes, no, mummy, I need to get this drawing finished because I'm going to take this card into school today to give to Frankie. You know, like, it really is. We're all walking around with these stories, and they are all from our conditioning or from our past experiences. And then we make these stories in our head. And then all we do is see the world. We see the way our partner treats us as a whole story. And really just by voicing it, whether it's to our kids or our husbands or a friend, when I text you 3 and 4 times and I don't hear back from you, like, the story I tell myself is that maybe you don't have time for me. And just to hear that response back of, God, I'm so sorry. I'm in the thick of it right now and I can barely keep on top of cooking dinner. And just to open yourself up to possibilities that aren't about you. Because we all think everything's revolving around us, and it's not. Like, everyone else is orbiting just around themselves, as are we. And I just think I just think that's where communication, whether it's with our husbands, partners, or kids, or gosh, mother-in-laws, you know, how many posts a day do we see in the Conscious Mothers group about overstepping of, and I really do see it from both sides. And I think, gosh, like, some people would kill to have a mother-in-law that wants to be this involved and, you know, rock up and clean. And but the story that that mom's telling herself is that the way she cleans isn't good enough, or she doesn't keep a good enough house. And I'm looking at it like, can I have your mother-in-law? Like, I promise I wouldn't feel anything except gratitude if someone came and cleaned my house. And so, yeah, I just think it is. It's all that real open. It's just getting really vulnerable with each other and having really crystal clear communication. I just think goes such a long way in parenting and with all our relationships.
Totally everything that you said, Ames, and I love that it kind of ties back into what I was saying about unmet needs, because you're kind of expressing those unmet needs in that phrase, which then almost brings that awareness back to you. So you realize, okay, this is my stuff, so I can work on it. You're taking that responsibility. You're showing whoever you're communicating to that this is your stuff and you're happy to take that on rather than projecting it onto them. And they get to solve together. And all of those skills are just like incredible, especially if you're doing that with a child as well, because they're just life skills and relationship skills that everybody needs.
And unexpressed expectations. I think so many issues come from that. Like we expect something from our partner, but we don't actually tell them what we expect. We expect them to bring us flowers or give us a kiss or text us, but we don't actually express that to them. And then we're angry at them that, you know, they don't do it.
Been there.
Yeah. Massively. Ladies. And then even going back to stuff we've learned through parenting, like including boundaries, like that's another massive part, like being able to insert those boundaries when we need, which a lot of us grew up not knowing how to do. I feel like boundaries are something we've only just learned in the last few years, I know, out of everyone that I've spoken to. And what another huge part of relationships that is.
Oh yeah, we need a whole nother podcast on boundaries.
We really do. We could start like a whole, yeah, absolutely.
Boundaries an actual and podcast. Homeopathy. What is the link?
Definitely. Or you can go and check out In's podcast, Hey Mama. And she's got quite a few episodes there. I'm sure you must have something on boundaries in there. How can our listeners get hold of you? And what's the final message you want to leave us with? Emily, you go first.
Oh, how can you get a hold of me? Well, you can find my Instagram, which is Conscious Mothers Group, and I hang out there quite a bit and share a lot of my conscious parenting philosophy. And then any of my resources or in-person programs, online programs, courses, they are all over at wearenaturenetwork.com. So that has got parenting courses. It's got a homeschool curriculum. So yeah, lots of things. So yeah, I'd love for you to go and check it out and see everything that I am offering and collaborating with other wonderful women to bring to our community.
Ooh, and final message you want to leave us with?
Final message is probably do not try and be a perfect parent, because being a perfect parent does not exist.
Amazing. Ames?
Okay, you can't contact me. I don't offer anything or do anything. I'm a private person living my life. I live in Denmark. If you happen to come down to Denmark, WA, yeah, maybe reach out over.
And come to yours. You've got your spa, right? Come for a chai.
Yeah. I run an infrared sauna studio down in Denmark. But look, I don't do anything. I just love to chat with friends. So thank you so much for having me on. Just finding the joy in every day through gratitude and perspective and just being really kind to yourself, because this is just a wild journey. And it's been a wild couple of years too. Yes. And sepia 200C is like the equivalent of a big glass of red wine. So if you feel like you want to kill your husband or kill your kids in any moment, reach for sepia 200C.
I did just that about a week ago and it worked. I shouldn't be surprised anymore, but sepia always relaxes me within under 5 minutes. I take a dose.
It's just the best.
I love you ladies so much. Thank you so much for all you do. Thanks for everything that you've meant to me. Thanks for everything that you've meant to all the mothers of Perth. You're both real inspiration to me.
Thank you, Eugenie. Mutual appreciation. What you do for our community is unreal. The hours and time spent is so, so appreciated by everyone.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Have a great day. See you later.
Bye. Thank you, Eugenie.